Luke chapter 16 in your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 16. We'll read, I believe, four verses here. Luke chapter 16. And look for verse 10, if you would. We've been talking a lot about giving lately. And, of course, as I mentioned this month, we'll be talking about giving, witnessing, missions, and really focusing lately on the heart behind our giving. Learning to be a wise steward of God's resources involves more than giving, though. It involves trust. It involves faith. It involves a whole lot of consulting with God about how to be wise stewards of what God has given us. And we talked about the widow with two mites. We talked about other things and whether your financial needs or resources are great or small, like the widow of two mites. The crucial element is this, and this is really the crucial element in every area of the Christian life and what we need as dads, as moms, as husbands, as wives, as children, as Christians, as employees, employers, whatever the case is. The crucial element in all of this is that God is the decision maker in every area of our lives. That is so crucial, that we consider God in all of these things. And I believe through his word, God teaches us how to be good stewards of what he's given us and what he has entrusted to us. So Luke 16, if you found it and you're able to stand with me in honor of God's word, let's read Luke 16 and verse 10. I'm going to read the first three verses, 10, 11, and 12. You read verse 13 out loud with me. So verse 10 says, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Faith to steward. That's what we're talking about tonight. Faith to steward. We'll pray and get into it. Our God in heaven, Lord, I need you tonight. I ask that you would help me to be true to your word. Help us to take seriously your word and apply it. And I thank you for the faithfulness of your people here today. God, I just pray that you be pleased through our response to your word as well. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. There are two types of people in this world, or we could say two schools of thought, and they're diametrically opposed to one another. And this consists of, number one, God's way of doing things. So we'll kind of picture this side as God's way of doing things. And then number two, mankind's way of doing things. And I said they are opposite oftentimes, most of the time, 99.9% of the time. The only time that they're not opposite is when man somehow gets it right and they're doing things God's way. But God's way and man's way are opposite of each other. Isaiah said it this way in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." This truth applies to many areas of the Christian life, and we can go through a long list of things. It includes areas of morality. Isn't that true? God's ways are different than the world's ways regarding morality, right? Okay, this also applies to ministry, even. God's ways of doing things is different than mankind's ways. Man throws a lot of pride into that. God's way of marriage is different than the world's view of marriage, right? And in today's topic, money, God's perspective, view of money, resources, stewardship is different than the world's view of it. It has to be, because God's ways are not our ways. And so we could go through a long list. And yes, I'm talking about money today. I will say this. I'm only going to mention, except for maybe just a couple, two or three sentences a little bit later on. Kind of, I think my last point, look at really the first point tonight. I'm only going to mention maybe a couple verses regarding giving money to the church. All right? We're just going to be talking about how does God want us to handle the resources He has given us in our lives. Because the world's view of money is often promoted through television, through advertising, through business, through retail, through a variety of other means. But God's way of viewing money involves a simple concept called stewardship. The world's view of money involves, living it up for yourself, climbing the ladder of success, enjoying all of these things that you have to have this next best and greatest thing. The world's view of money is it's all about me. My money is for me so I can make myself happy. And I can enjoy this life that's going to end anyways, and it's all going to get burnt up. While God's view of money is a simple concept called stewardship. And when we do it God's way, it's not that we're providing for ourselves. When we do it God's way, He's providing for us and taking care of us. And these are two vast differences. They think God has nothing to do with it because they don't believe in God, where God is the one who provided it. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights. So tonight I think the Lord could help us understand what God has to say about stewarding the resources He's entrusted to us. And that's really a thought we've got to carry into this message tonight. And we've got to remember that that will help us in our lives, is that God's entrusted it to us. He has. And so really, I want to consider three things tonight that will help us in this. I want to talk about the purpose of a steward. Then we're going to look at a parable, other than what we just read, a parable of a steward, and then some principles of a steward tonight. And so the purpose, let's consider the purpose of a steward. Two things about the purpose of a steward. Here's purpose number one. A steward is to manage the owner's resources. And a steward is to manage the owner's resources, and then a steward is to multiply the owner's resources. And when a steward is to, the term steward and stewardship appear 20 times in the Bible. Seven of those times it occurs in Luke 16, where we're at tonight. Steward means a house distributor, manager, overseer, by extension, a fiscal agent. Another word for a fiscal agent would be a treasurer. And that's what a steward is. And I said a steward is to manage the owner's resources. Why did you say that, Pastor? I said that because God is the owner. God is the owner. Let's look at some verses. Go to 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 14. Bible says, but who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Of thine own. It's yours, God. We didn't give our stuff to you. We gave your stuff to you. You getting it? Are you with me tonight? I mean, it's God's the owner. God owns your life. God owns you. God owns your resources. It's on loan from God. Psalm 24, verse 1. Turn there, please. Psalm 24, verse 1. This is good. Don't you love it when you take your Bible and pastor says, turn to this chapter and verse, or song leader says, turn to this hymn number. You just turn right to it. Isn't that amazing? Now, normally I do that as a pastor because I cheat and I mark it in my Bible. But I didn't mark it this time. It just went right to it. So that means God wants us to read this. So I'm going to shut up and let's read it, all right? Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's. Actually, read this out loud with me. Psalm 24, verse 1. Ready, begin. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19. I think maybe tonight is more of a Bible study and stewardship, but I believe there's some very powerful truths that will help us tonight as well. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, these last three words, which are God's. I'm going to give you a couple more references if you want to look them up. Deuteronomy 8:18. Do some homework later on. Haggai 2:8. There's so many others we could look at. It's just telling us here through the Word of God and by inspiration of the Word of God that I'm a steward and God is the owner. He is the owner of my life. He is the owner of my children. He is the owner of my wife. He is the owner of Northwest Baptist Church. He's the owner of everything that I have. It belongs to Him. And it will do me a lot of good in life if I would remember that God owns it. Owns what? All of it. He owns it. It's not mine. It's His. And the second aspect of the purpose that a steward is managed the owner's resources. The first aspect is God is the owner, but the second thing is I'm his manager. We've got to acknowledge that there's a difference between God giving us assets and God entrusting to us his assets, right? There's a difference between God giving us and God entrusting his assets to us. And we've got to understand or have an understanding of our role as stewards of God's assets. We have a role to play here. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Look at that if you would. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2. Listen, we've got to realize that we're not owners of our assets. That this might be a phenomenon to some people, and it's like the light bulb clicks on when we realize it's not mine. It's not mine. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. I'm not the owner of my assets, but rather managers of God's assets. And as managers, we've got to consider how to best utilize the resources given to us in order to serve God's purpose. So the first purpose of a steward is to manage the owner's resources. God's the owner, I'm his manager. And the second purpose is to multiply the owner's resources. Go to Matthew 25, if you would. Matthew 25 in your Bibles. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 29, record the parable of the talents, in which he taught an important principle of stewardship. This will be familiar, I think, to a lot of you tonight in Matthew 25. Let's look at verse 14, and we'll kind of read through this and talk briefly about it. Matthew 25, verse 14 begins, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents. To another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. This is a convicting passage of Scripture. It really is. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents and multiplied. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. There thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus told the story of literally the words are, a man traveling into a far country. The man represents Jesus, who called his own servants. These men, these servants, represent us. And delivered unto them his goods. The goods represent whatever resources God has given us. Just fill in the blank. The master in the parable entrusted different amounts to different servants, and when he returned to hold them accountable for the way they invested what he provided them, he did not reward the one who had the most talents to give back to him. He rewarded the 2 servants equally, who had faithfully done their best to properly invest what they had been given. It didn't matter if it was the 5-talent man or the 2-talent man. They invested. They had done their best to properly invest what they had been given, and so God rewarded them equally. I believe the Holy Spirit was careful to use the exact same wording for both the one who had received the 5 talents and the one who had received the 2. The wording is this, verses 21 and 23. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. On the other hand, the servant who had the 1 talent, who had hoarded the resources entrusted to him, he faced a tragic reprimand in verses 26 and 28. Thou wicked and slothful servant, look at verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. I think one obvious lesson learned in this parable is that God expects his servants to multiply the resources God has entrusted to. He's given. And to whom much is given, much is required. How do we multiply God's resources? I mean, we can name a few things. One way is by making sound investments. Other ways would include not being wasteful, not becoming irresponsibly laden with debt. A wise way to get the best return out of our investments is to give them right back to God. You believe that tonight? Because I think God can do wonderful things, depositing the resources he's entrusted to us right back into his kingdom's work is a sure way to multiply what he's given to us. Because when those temporary dollars are invested into an eternal work, wonderful things can happen. Especially when they help people hear and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, Paul, when he was talking to the Philippians, the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 4, and he was expressing how that no one else gave but them in a time of need. And he was encouraging them to keep it up. But he said this, not because I desire a gift, but what were his words? He said, but because I desire fruit to your account. In other words, he's saying, there's a certain way that I want you to get God's blessings. And there's one way for you to get God's blessings. And that's when you take the blessings God's given you and give them back to God so he can bless you some more. That's what he was saying. I want God's blessings in my life. You want God's blessings? Say amen. Absolutely. And so I think it's wise then that I realize that everything I have is from God and I ought to be willing to give it back to him. And if I'm willing to do that, then therefore he's just going to continue blessing me in unbelievable ways. So number one, the purpose of a steward, the purpose of a steward is to manage God's resources. Understand God's the owner. I'm just a manager. And then two, to multiply God's resources. But number two tonight is the parable of a steward. You say, we just looked at the parable. Go back to Luke 16. Luke 16, please. And we began reading later on in the chapter. We began today reading out of verse 10. But we look at verse 1 of Luke chapter 16, where in just a few verses prior to what we read, before Jesus told the parable of the talents, he taught the parable of the unjust steward. And it's the story of a steward who, he was unjust. He didn't do well. But when he realized he was guilty of mismanaging his master's resources, he did well. He started off wrong. But by the end of the parable, he got better. And he determined to correct it and become the kind of steward he ought to be. Look at verse 1 of Luke 16. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. He's saying this within himself. So he said, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? He's going to bat for the master now, is what he's doing. And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. In this parable of this steward here in Luke, in the beginning of Luke chapter 16, this illustrates two things. It illustrates the responsibility of the steward, and it illustrates his reward. His responsibility, he failed, man. He dropped the ball when it came to his responsibility. These opening verses paint a picture for us of what an ineffective steward looks like, being asked to account for what he had been entrusted, which reminds us of something very important tonight. It reminds us who have been given so many resources from God, so many resources generously from God's hand. Has God been good to you tonight? He has been absolutely good to us, and we've been given so many resources just generously from his hand. We talked this morning about how every morning his mercies are new. Great is thy faithfulness. Every day God's given us another chance to use our resources for him, but that we are responsible to him for what we do with them. Can you imagine standing now for a second before Jesus Christ? And when we stand before him, and just picture his nail-scarred hands. Picture the wound in his side. At that moment, we'll have an understanding of, even more so than we do now, of what Christ has done for us. And just imagine standing before him and having been an inadequate steward of all the blessings God has given us in this life as Christians. And we stand before him giving an account of what we've done with what God's given us. And just kind of imagine, if you would, the scenario, the scene. And I don't know what words, if any, will be said when the gold, jewels, and precious stones and the wood, hay, and stubble is tried by fire, and then having to explain why we were selfish or slothful with the resources that God has given us. See, the thing is, we have excuses today, but what we need to realize is, and what we got to come to grips with is, today's excuses will seem so inadequate on that day. Just won't seem to cut it. In fact, go to 1 Corinthians 3, if you would. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Look what it says there. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. The parable of the steward in Luke 16 illustrates the steward's responsibility. We're the stewards, by the way. Please, let's not just look at this as a story. Okay? There's practical application for us. We are the stewards. Right? I know you know that. But if it's easy for me, I'm sure it might be easy for somebody else as well to fall into the trap of looking at these parables as stories regarding somebody else and has nothing to do with me. Oh, it absolutely is me. This is me. And so when I see this parable of the steward, I have a responsibility. And I see also this parable illustrates not just the steward's responsibility, but it illustrates the steward's reward when you look at the last part of our text there in Luke chapter 16. And verse 8, it says, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Remember, he went to one debtor and he said, how much do you owe? He said, cut a check for half of that. And he went to another debtor and he said, how much do you owe? And he said, cut a check for 3/4 of that. And I'm sure he went to others. Those are just two examples there. And the master saw that and he was happy about it. He commended him, not condemned. He commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely in that situation. And when you consider our responsibility, it's a sobering thought. God has given to you a responsibility to steward your finances that he's given you, to steward the family that he's given you. Amen? That's a big deal right there. To steward the resources God has given you. And it doesn't matter what world country that we're in, first world or third world or whatever. It's God has given resources to individuals to steward them and to be responsible. It's a heavy responsibility to realize that these are God's. I've got to honor God with who I am, with who God has made me, with what he's given me. My purpose in life is to honor him in everything. And we've got to look at parables like this and realize, or ask the question and realize the answer to the question, am I honoring God as a husband, as a wife, as a dad, as a mom, as a child of God? Am I honoring him in my job? He's given me my job. Do I honor him there? He's given me my children. Do I honor him there? He's given me my church. Am I honoring him in my church? He's given me finances. Am I honoring him there? He's given us. Now, I know the word talent in the parable is not referring to talents like we would use them today. We say the word talent, we're talking about somebody who can sing or somebody who can do some great things, okay? Now, that's how we look at the word talent, but in there, it's literally talking about money, finances, okay? But let's use the word talent like we mean it today. Am I honoring God with the gifts and abilities God has given me? If God's given you a gift, God gave you that gift. And you ought to honor God with the gift. One great way is to honor him in a church service, or another great way is to honor him. I mean, some people have been given the gift of articulation. They're quick on their feet. Their speech, they just know how to comfort somebody. Use that gift of comfort. Oh wow, I love seeing God's people use the gift that God has given. I'm somewhat envious sometimes. You know, I've got the bags under my eyes and my settled facial expressions, yours might look pleasant, and mine just look like, get away from that guy, you know? I understand. I get that. God has given people a gift of comfort and encouragement. And I like to tell Shad, Brother Shad, you've been given the gift of encouragement. You just don't use it very often. And I tease. But, I mean, he is an encourager. Just don't tell him I said that. But But he is. I mean, he has encouraged me, and other people in our church has encouraged me, and we ought to use those things. God has given so many different gifts and abilities. And we're responsible. Right? We're responsible with those gifts. And when we use them, there's a reward. The steward who was functioning somewhat, not somewhat irresponsibility. Well, in our original text, in the latter part of Luke 16, he was very irresponsible. But in the beginning, this steward here, he was just not a wise steward. He was irresponsible, but he changed his ways. He quickly realized what was at stake and what needed to be changed. And you know what he did? He got busy. The Bible says in Luke 16:8, the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've not always been the Christian steward you ought to have been. I think all of us could raise our hands and say, yeah, there's been times I've been that guy. Or that gal. Sorry, ladies. And I just want to encourage you tonight that, you know, as we talked about this morning, because God's mercies are new every morning, great is his faithfulness, it's given us one more opportunity, hasn't it? It's given us one more opportunity to honor him today. Yesterday might have been a day of victory. Yesterday might have been a day of defeat. You might have been an unjust steward, but don't fret about that, because just determine to be the kind of steward that God wants you to be today. You can honor God with your resources. That is one way to honor him. And here's what's amazing, is that God would even allow us to honor him. Remember this morning we talked about what we deserve? What do we deserve? A place called a devil's hell. That's what we deserve. I deserve to burn in an eternity for all of... I deserve to burn in hell for all eternity. That's what I deserve. And yet God has given me the privilege of somehow honoring him. Even though you say, well, yeah, you're a Christian now. Yeah, I know, I'm a Christian who still sins. And yet somehow God is still patient. God is still kind. God is still loving. I mean, he corrects me, but God corrects me as a loving Heavenly Father. And he allows me each and every single day to have another opportunity to honor him. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that certainly applies to the unsaved. But Peter's words there were long-suffering to usward. He's writing to Christians, and he's saying he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I believe that he wants us as Christians to repent, get right, and move forward. Do you not believe that? And honor him. Some rewards will be received here on earth, but the best ones will be handed out in heaven, because the Bible tells us Jesus is keeping track of our stewardship so he can properly reward us. Go to Luke 6, or you're at Luke 6, look at verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. That's a sobering thought right there. So we've got the purpose of a steward. Then we've got the parable of a steward. The purpose is that we manage God's resources. God is the owner, and I'm the manager. The second purpose is that we multiply God's resources. And that this parable illustrates that I have a responsibility, and if I'm responsible, there's a reward. There's a reward when we're responsible. Let me say this, that we need God's rewards. Now, I know there's rewards awaiting us after Christ returns and we're in heaven, but we need God's blessings, can I put it that way, here on this earth, don't we? We do. And then third, the principles for a steward. You've got the principle of proprietorship. We'll talk about that in a second. You've got the principle of ownership, all right here in Luke 16. You've got the principle of citizenship. Oh, I love that one. And you've got the principle of relationship. The wording Jesus uses here as he goes on to explain these principles. Go back to Luke 16 now and look at verse 12. He said in verse 12, "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" How many of you have ever bought a car that is less than 3 years old? Less than 3 years old has very few miles on it. Okay? So, okay, let's put it this way. You can buy an old car that has very few miles. So how many of you would say, I bought a car with less than 35,000 miles on it? Anybody like that? Okay, yeah. Not very many, okay? And how many of you have ever driven in a car that, has, you could tell it's like a brand new car. It might not have been yours. Maybe it is just super nice, all right? Okay, yeah, absolutely. You know, there's something interesting. When a car is new to you, no matter how old it is, it's new, right? My first car was a 1984 Honda Accord. How new was it? Well, it wasn't a 1984 that I bought it. It was handed down to me. My sister's sister-in-law, my brother-in-law's sister, bought it 2 years old. And she handed it down to my sister and brother-in-law, who handed it down to my brother, who handed it down to me. So in 1996, I had a 12-year-old car that already had several other owners. But man, when I got that thing, I was like, don't you guys eat my car. You know, this was already an old car. I was like, this is my baby right here. It was a stick shift. And I thought it was cool. You could rev that thing. And you could take off the line in a stick shift. Now, it wouldn't go past 70 miles an hour. But you could just take off the line. But I loved that thing. It already had, I don't know who in my family was smoking, but it already had the cigarette lighter thing. It already had a burn in one of the seats. It had some bumps on the fender. But I had plans for that thing. I was going to, pull the dents out and buff it all out and just make it look like a nice little Honda Accord there and make it look brand new, and never got around to that. But still, when I first got it, it mattered a lot to me. And then over time, it didn't matter. I added more dents to it instead of got the dents out. And I made more stains inside than got those stains out. And if you've ever been in that situation, maybe it was a newer car than that. You certainly were not going to allow any food or drinks. You told your kids no food, no drinks. Your hard-earned money paid for that car. You were going to take excellent care of it. But then on the other hand, how many of you have ever rented a car? Now all of a sudden it don't matter. This is a vacation vehicle right here. We are on our way to the beach. You get sand in it. You're on your way to the mountains. You get dirt in it. You've been sweating outside. You've got sunblock on you. You get back in it. This is a nasty car. And how many other people have done this before you? You eat food in it. You have drinks in it. You have a toddler back there, or not a toddler, or younger, somebody who's even younger than that. How about a kid that's teething, and you have the kind of food that teethers can eat that's kind of gummy, and it falls between the cushions and the cracks and in the car seats. When you don't own the car, you don't feel as strongly about being a good steward of it as you do when you own the car and it's new to you and you naturally take better care of it. Liken this scenario then to Luke's principle in Luke 16:12. "And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" If God can't trust you to be a faithful steward in every area, whether it's another man's resource or your own, then why should God entrust you with his resources? practice that principle of ownership. No matter whose or what the resource is available, God is saying, be a good steward of that. That's the principle of ownership. That's what it is. Proprietorship is this: someone who holds property. Synonyms would include landlord or shopkeeper. See, you and I are holding property. You're holding God's property. Luke 16:10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? Jesus tells us that we're basically like a proprietor who manages his property, and we are the proprietor. We are on probation, so to speak. He is finding out how trustworthy we are. Or we're finding out, really, how trustworthy we are. And if we prove ourselves to be faithful, he says he will commit to our trust. Look what he says, the words there in verse 11. He will commit to our trust the true riches. Money is a good and helpful thing that God entrusts to us. And if we are faithful to steward his money properly, just imagine what God can do with it, what amazing things he might entrust to us in our lives. So you got proprietorship, you got ownership, and then I love this one, you've got citizenship. In the heart of this passage, in Luke 16, verse 9, look what it says there. In Luke 16, verse 9, you see the words there, unrighteous mammon. Jesus reminded his disciples where their true citizenship was. Their true citizenship was not on earth with its unrighteous mammon, but their true citizenship was in heaven. Amen? Their everlasting habitation. Sing it with me. Here we go. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I'm not home in this world anymore. Our treasures are laid up somewhere else. That here is the unrighteous mammon, but heaven is the everlasting habitation. On another occasion in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:19, Jesus reminded his listeners about where their citizenship laid and how that citizenship should affect their attitude toward their finances, where he said, lay not up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And this world's not our home. Not at all. We're just passing through. And we're just, we feel like, though, we make this mistake of a roadblock to giving in our lives is we have this illusion that earth is our home. And that's just an illusion. A man named Randy Alcorn wrote a book called The Treasure Principle. And he kind of gave this illustration. Let's just imagine, I'm not going to read it, but let's just imagine that that you live in France, all right, and you're visiting in America for some time. And there's a law that you can't take goods back to France. But you can invest, or you can transfer money, or you can make an increase in income here and then send that back home. So why would you come here and buy a car and buy chairs and buy furniture and buy art and painting and buy all of these material things that you can't get back to France? But rather what you could do is you could sell, and you can buy and sell in order to make an income, and you can send your money where your home is. You would spend only what you needed on temporary residence, sending your treasures ahead so they'd be waiting for you when you got home. The same idea ought to be true in our Christian life. We are trying to live it up in this world, and it's all going to get burnt up. When we can do what's necessary for us to take care of what God has given us as far as family and life and health and things like that, but there's so much more we can do with God, with the resources God has given us, and lay up our treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt. Colossians said, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. And the last one is this. You've got the principle of the steward. You've got proprietorship, ownership, citizenship. Heaven's looking sweeter all the time, isn't it? And then you've got a relationship. Look at Luke 16, verse 13. When Jesus closes out this discussion here in Luke 16, he tells what and whom it is really all about. It's all about loving and serving God. In Luke 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Cannot serve God and mammon. Really what it's about is, who's your master? It's about which relationship matters more to you. Your relationship with God or your relationship with this world. It's kind of a paradox of sorts, because some people actually, and Christians, actually choose the things of this world over a right relationship with God. Demas hath forsaken me, loving this present world. Awesome. And we ought to trust God enough to say, God, I choose you. God, I choose you over this world. And I choose your will and your ways over mine. And upon hearing this, you know what God does for them? He gives them a personal relationship with himself. He provides them all the things necessary to have their needs met. And he does this because he is good and generous Father. I'm going to say that one more time. And I'm saying it partly because I think we all need to allow it to sink in our hearts. When we choose God's will, we choose God's way, we choose to trust him and his ways over ours, God hears that. God rewards, God takes care of those servants that trust in him. Those things that we're so worried about providing for ourselves, God provides it, doesn't he? God takes care of it. And when we trust God enough to do what he says with what he's given you, I mean, that might mean totally overhauling our entire financial management style and habits. It really might. If it does, I want to say, do yourself a favor. Do it. Do it. Some might need help from someone on a budget that reflects a stewardship mentality or whatever, but and I know there are people that can help guide in financial areas, but really it just comes down to this, trusting God. Some might be managing God's resources in a responsible and obedient way, but maybe God is speaking to your heart about being part of a special opportunity. See, being an obedient and responsible steward is not about kind of consulting God one time about things and then setting all the percentages up and never slowing down to consult him again. But maybe we need to stop and be sensitive to, how about this, his voice every single day of our lives. Every day. It's a lifelong way of thinking. See, here's what we need reminded of tonight. We need reminded that we are not the owners. God is the owner of all of it. Amen? And we are the stewards. It all belongs to him. We're to manage his resources that he's given us. And understand that there's a purpose there to not just manage, but to multiply it. And that we have a responsibility. But there's a reward when we're responsible. And there's the ownership means I'm the proprietor. This world, why live for this world when it's all going to get burned up anyways? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And what happens? The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But here we go. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's eternal rewards for doing things God's way. Every head bowed, every eye closed at this time. Our God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust what it says, and we know that a faithful God wants to reward faithful stewards. God, I pray that you help us to apply these things to our lives, and thank you for the reminder that you are a God who wants to reward. Our cup will be running over when we look to you for guidance, and we trust you with it. Lord, I pray you'd help us now. Respond how you'd have us to, in Jesus' name.